Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
The European Union and the Corporate Impunity Nexus. New report by Friends of the Earth France exposes the perverse role of the European bloc in terms of human rights. The European Union, in obstructing the process, is using the exact same arguments of the corporate lobbies, and that's because there is a corporate capture of the European Union and also increasingly of the UN, denounced Juliette Renaud, senior campaigner on corporate accountability at Friends of the Earth France, with reference to the negotiation process at the United Nations for the building of a binding treaty on transnational corporations and human rights. Today marks the beginning of the fourth round of negotiations towards the binding treaty at the UN headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland. Friends of the Earth France took this opportunity to launch their new report, The European Union and the Corporate Impunity Nexus, Building the UN Binding Treaty on Transnational Corporations and Human Rights. The first objective of the publication is to show why and how the European Union is obstructing the process since the beginning, and how it uses the same arguments of international corporate lobby groups.
Real World Radio is interviewing Juliette Renaud. She is the senior campaigner on corporate accountability at Friends of the Earth France. Juliette, once again, we are speaking. Very nice to be in touch with you again. How are you?
Hello, how are you? I'm fine, thanks.
Fine, thank you, Juliette. Friends of the Earth France has come out again with a new report called The EU and the Corporate Impunity Nexus, Building the UN Binding Treaty on Transnational Corporations and Human Rights. You were absolutely involved in the process of the writing and the whole investigation in this new report, Juliette, and you have been following the negotiations in the UN in the last years. And I wanted to ask you first, Juliette, which was the purpose, which is the objective of this publication?
Well, the objective of the publication is, there are several objectives. First of all, is to show why and how the EU is obstructing the process since the beginning, since 2014-2015. Second is to show, to reveal that the EU in obstructing the process is using the exact same argument of the corporate lobbies. And why is that? Is that because there is a corporate capture of the EU and also increasingly of the UN. And in the negotiation on the binding treaty, the EU is demanding since the beginning that companies, that the transnational, participate in the negotiation. And so we respond by showing that any time that companies and lobbies are participating, we end out with nothing or with very no mission in the text, and most of all with voluntary norms. And the second objective is also to respond to the discourse of the EU companies and EU decision makers saying that we don't need new norms because anyway, EU companies are the most responsible in the world. They are green and they are great. And so we have a collection of 20 case studies involving European companies. These case studies have been written by a different organization from the ENCO network, which is a new network, a European network on of corporate observatories, and also of an organization from the Global South. So it's really a big report that we have been doing, coordinating the expertise and the investigation of many people from the ground and from Europe.
Okay, Juliette, you say in the report that the European Union's approach to the issue of the legally binding treaty actually is against it, is defending the voluntary mechanisms which had been designed by the transnational corporations. And I wanted to ask you, Juliette, why do you think that it happens? Why do you think that the European Union goes for this approach?
Well, first of all, because if you see how legislation is made at the EU level, there is this increasing involvement of corporation in the EU regulation and the decision making. So you have like expert groups, so-called expert groups, but when you see who are the experts, they are all coming, 90% coming from the industry. You have a lot of lobbying, conflict of interest, and also what they called multi-stakeholderism. So it's like multi-stakeholder spaces, like constellation spaces, where you will bring the corporation, trade unions, the NGOs, everyone together, happily discussing and trying to find a consensus. And of course, it negates the fact that some, like the corporation and their lobbies, are defending private interests, and the other one have less means, and they are defending the public interest. And so what comes out all this system of decision making is norms that are always voluntary, non-binding, and also market-based solutions such as the carbon trading.
Okay, I understand, Juliet. And why do you think that those voluntary mechanisms have not been really, you know, accurate, or have not been enough to make corporations or enterprises in general to respect human rights? What is your evaluation?
It's just because of their voluntary character. Because if the sometimes the norms are very nice and the content of the norm is good, but there is no sanction, nothing happen if the company or the state is violating the norm, it's totally ineffective, because there is no we have, for instance, in the case of the OECD guidelines on business and human rights on transnational companies, you have what is called a national contact point. So it's like a mediation institution where you can present a complaint if you think that a company has violated the norm. And what we see is that these national contact points are totally ineffective. In France, actually, French organization of the NGO have decided to boycott the NCP, not to present any more complaints. And there was also a study by the OECD Watch Network studying the complaints presented in the past 15 years, and only in 1% of the case there was reparation for the victim. So we see that it just doesn't work. And it's the same with the voluntary norm at the UN, like the Global Compact or the UN Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights.
In this new study, Juliet, you work on some case studies in which you say in the report that those studies reveal, and I'm quoting it, reveal a pattern where European corporations outsource their worst impacts to the global south, which is facilitated by the architecture of impunity. And I wanted to ask you, Juliet, if you consider that European citizens in general are aware of those impacts caused by the corporations from this region all around the world, and especially in the global south?
I think that citizens are increasingly aware. We have a really big support of citizen support when we launch campaigns against corporation. During 8 years, we had the Pinocchio Awards at Friends of the Earth France, and we had a record number of 60,000 votes in the last year. We also see now we have more mobilization, nonviolent action and mobilization in the street, and citizens really, really support that. And in terms of the binding treaty, a couple of years ago we had a European petition asking the EU not to abstract the process, and we gathered, 90,000 signatures. So we really have the support of the citizen, and that's what helped us put pressure on our governments.
And Juliet, you also mention and point out in the study that sometimes or in many times the corporations defend themselves saying, we are respecting the law, this project in which we are working on was accepted and it was approved by the national government, so we are not doing anything which is really wrong. We have been accepted by the government which was elected by the people of this country. What do you say about that?
Well, the response, and it is also what we try to show in this case study, is that there is two main things that transnationals do that can contradict this excuse. Is first of all that there is a big influence of transnational cooperation on the legislation of this country, of the southern country. For instance, if we take the case of Argentina with the fracking boom in Patagonia, all the oil company came to Argentina to exploit shale gas, and they put pressure on, and this is what on the case studies, they put pressure on the Argentine government at the national and the provincial level to change the law, to make make it more profitable for the companies. And the director of Shell was even appointed as minister. So we saw that the companies are making the law. And sometimes when you have countries also that try to pass ambitious law to protect the environment or to protect workers, they're attacked by the company. The company sue the governments before private arbitration courts and using the treaties of protection of investment on trade and investments. And so they prevent, what they do, the transnational company, is preventing the states from fulfilling duty to protect human rights and their citizens.
Okay, Juliet, you were saying something that is related to what I'm going to ask you now, which is, you mentioned the architecture of impunity. This is exactly what you say in the introduction of the new report. And you mentioned, for example, the World Trade Organization, the adjustment policies of the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank. You talk about also public-private partnerships, the investor-state dispute settlement. I guess, as you were saying, you can include here the treaties to protect in investments or free trade agreements, etc. What is the role played by this architecture of impunity in regard to the corporations and their violations of human rights?
The first thing to see is this real opposition between this trade and investment agreements that protect TNC's interest and profit with a binding norm and with very effective investor-state dispute settlement system that allow TNC to sue states before private arbitration courts. So we see, for instance, the very well-known case of Chevron now, the arbitration court of The Hague, asking Ecuador to cancel a decision of the highest court of Ecuador and also to prevent victims from trying to execute the condemnation of Chevron outside Ecuador. So it's a total nonsense. And this is what TNC used in the case of Chevron. Again, in Ecuador, they were condemned by four different tribunals and also the highest court to pay $9 billion. It's been 25 years that the victims are looking for justice, and they just don't manage to have to make the company pay. So that is why we need to take down to destroy this system that protects the corporation. And we also need binding norms on human rights to protect people and the environment.
Juliet, finally, I think that at some point you already explained it, but just in case you want to add something, there can be some people who say, okay, but if you have voluntary mechanisms, you have maybe some national laws and they are not really respected by the corporations, why do you fight so hard for this new treaty, which makes you feel sure that this treaty is going to be respected? Why is it that important for you?
Well, first of all, we also have battle at the level of the national level. I think the two levels are very important. So in France, we managed to pass an important law on transnational cooperation in human rights. And now the battle, of course, is to have it implemented. But we also need the international level, and we need a binding treaty with a direct obligation for companies. Why direct obligation is, of course, because we cannot only depend on the goodwill of states to implement the treaty. Also, we know that, as I said before, corporations influencing the government and the decision-making in some country, they are corrupting government or courts, etc. So we know that access to justice is just impossible in many countries of the world. So that's why we need a strong international implementation mechanism to go with the treaty. Otherwise, it will be toothless.
Okay, Juliet, finally, do you want to tell me something about this new week of negotiations, the fourth round? What do you expect for it, and what's really important for Friends of the Earth International, and in particular for Friends of the Earth Europe, which is the region that you are representing also there?
Well, I think it's a very important step in the process, as states will discuss for the first time the first zero draft of treaty. So it's really becoming serious, and we're still worried about the attitude that will take the European Union. We've just learned a couple of days ago that they will participate in the week of negotiation, but they say they will remain silent, and they're asking the member states to remain silent also. But we have put a big pressure on France to take a leading role in the process. So we really hope, and they told us that they would take the floor, and so we hope they will show the the example to other European countries, because we know that a lot of responsibility is in the northern country, because it's where most TNCs are domiciled.
Okay, it was Juliette Renault, senior campaigner on corporate accountability at Friends of the Earth France, part of the Friends of the Earth International delegation, which is in Geneva for the next round of negotiations on the UN legally binding treaty on transnational corporations and human rights. Juliette, thank you very much. You have been very kind as ever.
Thank you.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by Fowai.